Good evening, everyone. Last time we looked at the text on the 37 practices. We looked at the verse on last verse we looked at last time was to do with impermanence, so death and impermanence. So we spoke there about how at the time of death, all the wealth and possessions that we've accumulated in our life, these we have to leave behind. We cannot take them with us to our next life. Likewise, our loved ones that we care for so now in this life, at the time of death, they will not be able to help us. The only thing that will help us and the only thing that we'll be able to take to our next life is the virtue that we have accumulated. So therefore, we need to engage in the practice of the bodhisattvas in engaging in accumulation of virtue for the benefit of others. And this is the practice that all bodhisattvas engage in, and they do so. And so as we have the wish to become a bodhisattva ourselves, we should practice in the same way that they do. So last time we didn't quite finish the presentation on death and impermanence. So there's a verse here from Lama Tsongkhapa. So we'll just look at that now quickly.
So
Just for those who are new, Geshe is using a commentary which hasn't been translated, so that's why you don't have it before you, just the root texts. But the verse he read out now from Lama Tsongkhapa is, the freedoms and advantages are difficult to obtain. The duration of this life is not stable. Through cultivating your mind, turn away from the attractions of this life. So here Lama Tsongkhapa starts out by mentioning how these precious human rebirth, that this precious human rebirth, which is marked by these 18 qualities, that this is something that is very difficult to obtain. Some months ago in the Lam Room, we looked at in some this presentation on the precious human rebirth. We looked at this in some detail, and we saw there how it's a combination of freedoms and advantages, or freedoms and endowments. So the freedoms were classified as 10, and the as 8, and the advantages were in two groups of 5. Those depending on oneself, and those that are circumstantial. So the 8 and the 5 and the 5 give the 18 qualities that a precious human rebirth requires. And when we looked at that in the Lam Room, and also more recently in this text, in the 37 practices of bodhisattvas, we saw that to attain a precious human rebirth, one has to accumulate three sets of causes. So the first was to guard one's ethical conduct well. That was the first cause. The second was to engage in practices such as the 6 perfections. And then the third was to make heartfelt aspirational prayers. So for one to do all three of these, in particular the guarding of one's ethical conduct well, is difficult. And yet in the past we've managed to achieve those causes, to accumulate those causes, and now we can experience the result. But because those causes are so difficult to accumulate, it is very difficult to experience this result of a precious human rebirth. And all of us sitting here in this room, without exception, all of us have a precious human rebirth. We have the precious this body, this human form, and it comes. We have the complete sense powers. For example, we can hear and understand the teachings and the like. And furthermore, we have a place where we can come together and study. And we have all the other conditions that are required to hear the teachings and to contemplate the teachings. For example, we also have a spiritual friend and the like. So we all, yeah, all of us without exception, we have a precious human rebirth. Then, when, however, in other countries where there are no Dharma teachers and possibly the conditions, the living conditions of very poor people struggle to have the conditions just to sustain their life, let alone have the opportunity to study the Dharma, then such people are likely to engage in numerous negative activities because they don't have this context of the Dharma to guide them. So whilst they are human beings, like we are human beings, they have not attained a precious human rebirth. And the reason that this rebirth that we have is called a precious human rebirth, the reason that it's called precious and not just a human rebirth is what distinguishes the rebirth that we have, is that we have this basis upon which we can engage in Dharma practice. So we have a basis that we can refrain from harming others, we can engage in beneficial activities for others, and we can train our mind. And that is what marks this human rebirth as being precious. So to look at that in a little more detail, so we have this opportunity now as human beings to engage in cultivating our mind, to make our mind kinder and more gentle. And with this kinder, more gentle mind, we are able then to develop the wish of ethical conduct, to make the heartfelt aspiration not to harm others, or to make the heartfelt commitment not to harm others. Then in addition to this, through training in the special minds of love and compassion, we can make the commitment to benefit others. So these two aspects of refraining from harming others and to actually engage in beneficial activities for others. And from this we experience results immediately in terms of our own joy and happiness, our own mental joy and happiness. And furthermore, we accumulate the causes for long-lasting happiness, or for ultimate happiness, namely the attainment of the Dharma goals of Buddhahood or foe destroyer and the like. So for these reasons, our human rebirth is called a precious human rebirth. Then I'll just read the verse from Lama Tsongkhapa again. The freedoms and advantages are difficult to obtain. So again, let's look at that one. And the second line is the duration of this life is not stable. It will then go on through cultivating your mind, turn away from the attractions of this life. So the second line, the duration of this life is not stable. This is advice from Lama Tsongkhapa in terms of a meditation object that we should cultivate. So now that we recognize we have attained this precious human rebirth, what to do with it? The first thing to do is to repeatedly train in this understanding of impermanence, and in particular to understand that this precious opportunity that we have, that this is not stable. that it's long lasting, that it will continue to last, that assumption is not reliable. So this is something that we need to train in repeatedly to understand the impermanence of the opportunity that we have. What are the results that come from this contemplation on impermanence? Well, we first will come to recognize how we've been living our life up to this point, and we'll see that this with this assumption that we have time, that there are many years ahead of us, that due to having this assumption and acting under the influence of this assumption, we engage in activities under this way of this mind of strong attachment, because we think we have time, and so in this time we need to accumulate many goods and have many wonderful, pleasurable experiences and the like. And to get this, we also engage in activities that can be harmful to others, either directly so or indirectly. In other words, not thinking about the consequences of our actions on others, which thinking our mind is dominated by this attachment, and therefore we strive to accomplish these objects of pleasure or pleasurable experiences. And if others get harmed in that process, that doesn't occur to us. So thinking about impermanence and coming to see how this life that we think is going to be long, this is not, and that this is not the case, that this assumption is mistaken, this then leads us to turn away from the activities under the sway of this great attachment, and we turn away from the harmful activities that come under the influence that follow from this mind of great attachment. As this meditation develops, so this meditation that is based on the understanding of what the precious human rebirth that we have obtained and its impermanence, as this develops, we come to see that this life that we have, its duration is actually very short, that it may come to an end at any moment, and even if it lasts for a lengthier period, by the time it comes to an end, almost certainly it will end sooner than we wanted to. Coming to understand this, our grasping at the importance of this life is reduced, and our mind starts to turn towards our future lives, because we see how this life that we have obtained is going to end, and then immediately another will be obtained, and then another and another. The duration of this continuum is far longer than this one present life. Therefore, we need to accumulate the causes to ensure that our future lives, those which may start very soon, continue to go well. And having this understanding of the opportunity that we have, that this precious human rebirth that we have attained, we see what really what wonderful conditions we have in our life, and wanting to have such good conditions, or conditions that are at least as good as that in our next life, we know we have to accumulate those causes. So those causes for the precious human rebirth are, as we said earlier, first of all to guard our ethical conduct well, secondly to engage in the practice of the six perfections such as generosity and the like, and thirdly to make heartfelt aspirational prayers. So our mind then will turn to rather engaging in virtue and not be caught up in the affairs of this one life. If we in our lives have an opportunity for, say, a period of 1 month to accumulate great wealth, that will be of benefit to us and we'll make sure we can live in comfort for the rest of this life, then we can be sure we would all use that opportunity very well. And in this 1 month, we'd make great efforts so that we could accumulate as much wealth as possible so that the rest of this life can be comfortable. And we would know that if we were to rather be a bit relaxed and not actually use this opportunity very well, this great benefit that could have been obtained won't be obtained, and then our future will be that much more difficult than it otherwise would have been. So if we take that clear understanding and we apply it to the context of our future lives and the context of karma and the like, then it's very clear that whatever remains of this life, which may be 1 month, it may be less, it may be more, but whatever remains of this life, we need to use this opportunity as well as we can to accumulate as much virtue as we can, because that will ensure that our future lives will go well. If we don't use this opportunity and we let this opportunity go to waste, then our next rebirth is not going to turn out as well as this one. And if we say, for example, end up being born in the lower realms, then there the opportunity to accumulate virtue is almost non-existent. So thinking like this, it becomes very clear that we need to use whatever exists, whatever remains of this life, we need to use it as well as we can to accumulate as much virtue as we can.
Then
I'll just read the verse again for Lama Tsongkhapa. Again, this explanation continues through it. The freedoms and advantages are difficult to obtain. The duration of this life is not stable. Through cultivating your mind, turn away from the attractions of this life. So here, at this point in the meditation, we come to understand the great harm that attachment does to us, that this powerful mind of attachment that dominates us and leads us to the decisions we make and the activities we engage in, that this harms us both in this life as well as harming our potential to accumulate virtue to be of benefit for our future lives. So seeing this, we will make the decision to turn away from this mind of attachment, to abandon this mind of attachment, and rather engage in virtuous activities. So the accumulation of virtue, helping others, being of benefit to others where we can. So in this way, the roots of virtue already have, these will strengthen and grow. And they will these roots of virtue that we have, through their strengthening, our mental development will follow, and our progression along the Dharma paths will begin. And therefore our progression towards the whatever goal we have, whether it's individual liberation or enlightenment and the like, this will continue. So this will all come about from us turning away from this great mind of attachment and rather engaging in virtue. So here, when we look at the faults of striving just for the happiness of this life, we see that what makes us do that is this mind of attachment. It's this mind of attachment that makes us work primarily for our loved ones and to accumulate nice objects and the like. And seeing that this is a very short-term way of looking at things and doesn't help the long-term, and equally so, it leads to us engaging in non-virtue, we then turn away from the affairs of this life. We turn away from the meaningless affairs of this life and use all our energy to accumulate virtue and to be of benefit to others and the like. So this is how all the bodhisattvas of the past and the present practiced and are practicing. And us who aspire to enter the bodhisattva paths, we should do the same. what we've been hearing at the end of each at the end of each verse, or we're reading at the end of each verse, is this is the practice of a bodhisattva. So here, the reason that this is repeated throughout the text is because if we have this aspiration to become bodhisattvas, so therefore we need to train in the same way that they have trained and are training. For example, and this is something we can see in many avenues of life. One illustration that's easy to understand is someone who has the aspiration to become a skilled sports person. So such a person is not going to just make it up on their own and think, oh, I know how I can become the best in the world, I know everything. Rather, they'll go to someone who is accomplished in their field of sport and learn from this person. And then their coach will train them and say, okay, you first need to do like this, and when you progress from this stage, you'll know, because these are the accomplishments you'll have, and then you can progress by engaging in these new activities, etc. So through following the training and the advice from the coach, then the sports person, their skill will grow and develop, and they will have the aspiration to become as good as their own coach, etc. So we can see the analogy here quite clearly, but you can think of this in other avenues of life, for example, with young children. So, of course, they start out life not being able to read and write, but in dependence on a school teacher or their parents, then they quickly learn how to read and write. And this is in both of these illustrations, whether it's for a sports person or a young child learning how to read and write. They're not told once, and then they try, and then they suddenly are literate and they can read great novels and the like. Rather, there's a progression, a sequence that needs to be followed. And then the sports person or the child needs to train step by step for and continuously for a duration of time. And that way, they end up turning out like their coach or their school teacher as well. So in our context, it's exactly the same. We have the wish to enter the bodhisattva paths. So here we see their trainings presented to us. And so we need to practice in the same way that the current bodhisattvas are practicing, and those who are now attained the state of Buddhahood, how they practiced in the past when they were bodhisattvas. We need to engage in the same training. And similarly to similar with the school children and the sports people, we may sit here on a teaching, have some inspiration and the like, but that alone isn't enough. We need to cultivate these minds repeatedly, again and again. Because in our case, in the case of the aspirant bodhisattvas, then this is a mental training. We're not making something or doing something. We're training our mind. So this mental training is something that one needs to engage in repeatedly and over a duration of time. And if that is done, then the goal will undoubtedly be attained. And now we come to the fifth verse, or the fifth practice rather, and that is giving up bad company. So if anyone doesn't have it, I'll just read the verse quickly. When you keep their company, your three poisons increase, your activities of hearing, thinking and meditating decline, and they make you lose your love and compassion. Give up bad friends. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. Then, so if we look at what we have here as bad friends, so the opposite of a bad friend would be a good friend. So there are many different words that can be used here in the Tibetan. In the English, I'm going to rather use wholesome and unwholesome friends. So that's one part of what this verse looks at, wholesome and unwholesome friends. The other part is that of a spiritual teacher. So one can have a qualified spiritual teacher and an unqualified spiritual teacher. So we have wholesome and unwholesome friends, and qualified and an unqualified spiritual teacher.
And
See about these unwholesome friends or these bad friends. So what are these? Now, what constitutes a bad friend? So if we think about it, we'll probably think of someone who gets angry a lot, someone who enjoys harming others, maybe someone who engages in substance abuse and the like. So that may be the kind of person that comes to mind when we think about an unwholesome friend. So if such a person is an unwholesome friend, it's difficult to say whether such a person is necessarily an unwholesome friend. So for example, if someone who does get angry a lot, who does engage in substance abuse, etc., so that person may superficially appear to be an unwholesome friend, but it depends on other factors. So for example, if they say to you, well, I'm having a drink tonight, but don't. You don't join me, because I know what happens when we drink too much. Then it leads to arguments and fights and suffering and non-virtue follows. So don't follow my example. Or if someone says, well, yes, I know I get angry easily and I argue and make problems in others' lives. Don't follow my example. You see the harm that this does. Don't act in this way. So such a person, despite being easily enraged and engaging in substance abuse and the like, they are actually not an unwholesome friend to us. So this person who's easily enraged and fights and argues with others and engages in substance abuse and the like, if they discourage us from doing the same as them and point out the faults of their behavior to us and therefore actively discourage us from doing the same, then that is not what is meant here by an unwholesome friend. Rather, an unwholesome friend is someone who influences us to act in a way that leads to the increasing of the three poisons, or the strengthening of these three poisons. So someone who influences us in a way that our mind of attachment strengthens, that our mind of anger strengthens, or that our mind of ignorance strengthens, then such a person is an unwholesome friend.
Yeah, ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャマジャチェアだ。でね、ジャ diwa mangosa chibu ta digwi togo re dronga ya se dine chile dronga lagwa re stokma basa.
On the other hand, someone that we get on well with and whose company we enjoy, and we actually have a close relationship with them, such a person we may think, oh, such, how can they be an unwholesome friend? But actually, they could well be. For example, if for a school pupil, if their friend says, oh, today let's not go to school, let's rather go and hang out somewhere. Or if we're a bit older and someone says, oh, let's phone in sick and not go to work, and let's rather go and do something else. And so such a person who encourages us to act in such a way may well be an unwholesome friend. In particular, if they encourage us to say, oh, look, this is something really nice, but, well, we don't have the money for it, so let's steal it. Or let's have a few drinks, and in fact, let's have quite a few drinks. And, well, that person, they're not so nice. I think we can fight with them and win and beat them up. Let's go and do that. So such a person is clearly an unwholesome person. However, our relationship with them may well be very cordial. Well, cordial is not the right word. It may be someone we get on well with and we consider them a friend and we have a close relationship with them and we like being with them. However, through their influence, we engage in non-virtuous activities and we make a habit of these non-virtuous activities. So even though we get on with someone, they may well be an unwholesome friend. So with such a person, not only would our afflictions increase, in particular the minds of attachment, anger and ignorance, but the qualities that we have, such as minds such as love and compassion, they will decline. So anyone who leads to such a mental result for ourselves, anyone that we have such a relationship with, that person we should rather not associate with.
And the nigger draw whatever in an encouraging or a sin that the Jar shed down corner new mojada, the nigger new moja and Chabaja, the new Chick Milk Jala Kumaja, the Dinicheva in up, and Chicky Tungan to Aggie in Iorva, then me Hawan and Yadata, the nigger sort of Yora Aggie in Yamachim with Chicken Gore. I didn't mean big on the chicken yamlin, chicken chiba in up, and to get that.
The faults of associating or being close with unwholesome friends are are in the degeneration of our mind. So here we would experience this in terms of our mental afflictions strengthening and increasing, and then the qualities that we have are declining. So for example, they're most likely to encourage us to engage in non-virtuous behavior. So illustrations that are easy to understand, we may be encouraged to steal and the like, and then we could end up in prison, or encourage us to fight with others, and then this will lead to our problems multiplying as well. And what comes from having these unwholesome friends is that our opportunity to receive teachings and to read Dharma books and to study, this will then be lost, because they certainly are not going to encourage us in that direction. And if we don't have the opportunity then to receive teachings, we don't have the opportunity to think about the meaning of the Dharma. And then, of course, we won't be able to accomplish the third step, and that is to meditate on the meaning of the Dharma. And if we don't do any of that, then we aren't accumulating the causes to attain our Dharma goals, such as liberation or Buddhahood and the like. And all of that will be prevented because of the friends that we choose to associate with. So therefore, a great loss for both this and future lives come from associating with unwholesome friends, and therefore this is something to be abandoned. When we started looking at this verse, I mentioned how this verse presents two types of unwholesome friends. So we've looked at the first type, so the person who encourages us to engage in non-virtuous activities and the like. Now the second one is not necessarily a friend, but this is an unqualified spiritual teacher. So such a person may not necessarily encourage us to kill or steal and the like, but they may well, in fact, be a teacher of a particular religious doctrine. And they may teach in an inspiring way and be charismatic, and we may enjoy being in their presence. But the views or the tenets that they teach, these are mistaken. So they may include views such as there's no such thing as the law of causality, there are no past and future lives, they may hold the view that the Buddha Dharma is mistaken, and they may not present that there's any benefit in benefiting others and working for the welfare of others. And this would come from having this view of only one life and not accepting the law of causality, and having this view that when we die, our mind ceases and there's just nothing. So from this, we then, from associating with such a teacher, then one is encouraged to go in a direction that is quite contrary to the Dharma and away from virtue.
Mm-hmm. 그러나 제비삼바
So if one follows such a teacher, so an unqualified spiritual teacher, even if they are charismatic and we enjoy being in their company and enjoy receiving teachings from them, but because the teachings that they teach us are mistaken, then we will not be taught how to accumulate virtue for the benefit of future lives. We will not necessarily be encouraged to develop minds such as love and compassion and work broadly for the benefit of all sentient beings. And in fact, the teachings we receive may well encourage us just to strive for the happiness of this life. So we may enjoy receiving these teachings, but in terms of accomplishing our Dharma goals, they really block the path for us. Because through following, through being a follower of an unqualified teacher, then one doesn't accumulate the causes to attain the bodhisattva grounds. One doesn't accumulate the causes to progress towards Buddhahood. And so therefore, we should abandon associating with such teachers, or rather we should abandon being a follower or student of such teachers. Rather, we should act like the bodhisattvas of the past and the present and engage in acts of virtue, engage in cultivating minds such as love and the like, and engage in developing the motivation to attain the state of Buddhahood.
Kevishin loba di di zhuangan ba re zhuangan be nan ne zhuangan be de duo le xia da de ge xu xie le xie ge duo xie zhan din ne ge zhuangan be yong du du jie yao ma de shi xie xie song xia jie.
In fact, amongst of these two types of unwholesome friends, the first and the second that we saw, that we've looked at, the second type, this unqualified spiritual teacher, is actually the worst of the two, because of the harm that comes from following such a teacher. So therefore, one needs to turn away from being the student of such a teacher.
I
myself have actually met such a person, and they criticized us for offering butter lamps. I said, "Are you Buddhists? You're always offering butter lamps. Nothing comes from this. In fact, it's a selfish thing to do. Here around us are poor people. Rather give the butter to them." So they engage in this act of criticizing this behavior because they don't understand this behavior at all.
So
there's a quote here from Udana Varga, And this, so this quote in the Udana Vadaka is a saying from the Buddha. If those without faults rely on those who have faults, doubt will grow and non-listening also increases. Therefore, don't associate with unwholesome people. So I'll read this again. If those without faults rely on those who have faults, doubt will grow and non-listening also increases. Therefore, don't associate with unwholesome people.
DJ me down draw me jazzy, and then DJ and DB draw was your right, DJ said the Diba. Is that DJ named the DB draw boy on Julia, DB draw one you draw what chair your mother has, what chair your mother has. You then got it, Labna, Dim no draw what chair by inna, Manzu Julia, no more do some yah, few chairs to a pair of words, no more do some few chairs draw by inna, so say give your mother, so say delay, so say no more control that in the cabin.
So this verse from Lord Buddha, it's presented so as to back up the main verse of the text, because what the Buddha is saying here is that we should not associate with unwholesome friends, because through associating with unwholesome friends, our three poisons, these minds of affliction, anger and ignorance, they will strengthen. And through these minds being even stronger and more dominant within us, then we will suffer in this life. And we will not only will we be more unhappy because our mind is more attached and more angry, but through acting with these through these minds, we will harm others around us. So faults will come in this life, or unhappiness will follow in this life for ourselves and for others. And furthermore, because we'll be acting in this negative way, we'll be accumulating non-virtue. In other words, accumulating the causes for rebirth in the lower realms. And then when those ripen in our future lives, and we are born in the lower realms, then we will not even have the opportunity to once again accumulate virtue. So therefore the Buddha gives this advice that we should abandon unwholesome friends.
Oh, that is nice.
And furthermore, this verse, again, this verse from the Buddha has the same meaning as what has been taught thus far. So the Buddha is encouraging us here to turn away, or to ensure rather that we don't follow unqualified teachers. So the second kind of unwholesome friend. Because they will teach us to engage in activities which are contrary to the Dharma and actually may accumulate non-virtue. For example, making animal sacrifices and the like. So this is one illustration that's clearly contrary to the Dharma. But further to this is through following an unqualified teacher, then one will not be receiving teachings. One will not be receiving Dharma teachings by following an unqualified teacher. One will not be receiving Dharma teachings by not hearing Dharma teachings. One won't therefore be able to reflect on Dharma teachings. And if one hasn't been able to study and reflect, one cannot meditate. So through following an unqualified teacher, we will then stop the entire development of the Dharma minds and the Dharma paths within our continuum. So all of this comes from following an unqualified teacher. The reason we have this presentation here on giving up bad company is because generally if we have a conviction that something is harmful, we won't engage in it. So for example, we all know that if one drinks, one shouldn't drive. And so we know that if one drinks, then someone else needs to drive. So we have an understanding of harmful behavior and we turn away from it because of the results that will come. So here we have this presentation on bad company or unwholesome friends and the like. Now if we in the past we've met a teacher and we may now have the thought that oh maybe this teacher is an unqualified teacher or a mistaken teacher. I wonder if they are or are not. How can I know? So the way to know is not through thinking, I wonder if they are they kind-hearted, or do I enjoy being in their presence? Are they charismatic teachers? This is not the way to know whether someone is an unqualified teacher or not. Rather, investigate your own mind. And look at what happens in your own mind when you implement the teachings of such a teacher. And see if through implementing their advice or following their advice, do your afflictive minds strengthen and grow? Does this mind of attachment, for example, or the mind of anger or ignorance, are these strengthening and growing, and thereby leading us to engage in activities which are harmful to others? So if we see that, then we know that this teacher is likely to be an unqualified teacher or a harmful teacher, and rather someone then whom we should not follow. Because by following in such a person, whilst we may enjoy their presence and their company and their teachings and the like, they will by following them, they will prevent us from engaging in the cultivation of the Dharma, because we'll attend their teachings rather than Dharma teachings, and therefore we won't be able to study and reflect on the teachings and meditate on the teachings. And this then will stop the development of the Dharma minds of love, compassion and the like.
And then again,
So just once again, through being a student or follower of such a teacher, we will incur a great loss in both this and future lives. In particular, through following such a teacher, this will be a severe obstacle to the accumulation of virtue, to the accumulation of causes to attain good rebirths in the future, to attain the minds of liberation and the minds of Buddhahood. So this is the great loss that comes from following such an unqualified teacher. And it's in the commentary Gandalf's using, there's a quote from Lama Tisha. So, ruin and misfortune come from having unwholesome friends. If we associate with unwholesome friends, then from this misfortune will follow, as well as ruin. So the misfortune relating to this life, and ruin relating to future lives. And so this then so here the advice, of course, is not to associate with such friends. The text continues to give advice that one should, if one has identified now that some friends that one has are would be included in unwholesome friends, or a teacher would be an unqualified teacher, that we should really steer clear from them as long as they have that effect on us, that our afflictive minds increase and therefore our negative actions increase and our negative speech increases. And in fact, it says we should avoid them like the plague, so to speak. So if we know that someone has a contagious disease, then we'll avoid such a person. Or if we're near them, we'll be quite apprehensive and we'll take preventative measures, maybe wear a mask or take some medicine and the like. So in the same way, knowing the faults of associating with unwholesome friends, we should guard ourselves and try and not to associate with them whilst they have such a negative impact on us. This advice that's given here is specific for people such as ourselves, whose minds are not very stable, and our virtuous minds and the like are not very stable. However, once we have trained and our minds have become more powerful and stable, once our minds have become more trained and developed, then If we are around such people, we will not easily be influenced by them anymore. In fact, we won't be influenced by them anymore. So if we then once again associate with such people and they encourage us to act in non-virtuous ways, we'll know that's not what we want to do because we'll understand the results that come from that. Likewise, if we receive teachings from an unqualified teacher, because our mind has become stable, we're not going to be deceived by these teachings, and we're not going to be drawn in a direction away from the accumulating virtue and of being of benefit to others. So therefore, for those of us now whose minds yet are still not stable, we need to train and cultivate our minds. And whilst doing this, we should not associate with unwholesome friends, those who cause our qualities to degenerate and our afflictions and the like to strengthen. So for now, such people we should not associate with until our minds have become trained and stable.
Then you send a papa, the Niki, Yamina, the Papa, the Papa, the Niki, 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 the Papa, the 그
For bodhisattvas who have become Arya beings, who have attained the direct realization of emptiness, so for such beings, their mind is stable. Their mind is not going to be deceived. So they are able to associate with people that, for us, we should rather avoid. So whether they are unwholesome friends or unqualified teachers, and if the reason that a bodhisattva can actually associate with such people is because of the stability of their mind. When they would meet such a person, in fact, compassion would arise for them. So if they were to meet someone who encourages them to engage in non-virtue, or if a teacher who encourages them to turn away from virtue and to think just of this life, for example, then this Arya Bodhisattva would generate great compassion for them, thinking about the way that they're living their life, the negativities that they themselves are accumulating, and furthermore that they are encouraging others to engage in similar activities, and therefore they are accumulating so many causes for further suffering. And thinking like this, the Bodhisattva will generate strong and powerful compassion for the unqualified teacher or for the unwholesome friends. And in fact, then what a bodhisattva will do now with this compassion, because of the compassion dominating their mind, they will befriend such a person, or they will pretend to be the student of such a teacher. And then befriending someone or pretending to be a student, they will develop a close relationship with them. And through developing a close relationship, the unwholesome person will be susceptible to their advice. And the Bodhisattva, through asking questions and talking about the results of the activities that the friend wants to engage in, or the results that of the actions the teacher is advising, then the friend and this unqualified teacher will start slowly to see, through the skill of the Bodhisattva, the faults that will come from their way of thinking. So in this way, a Bodhisattva not only is protected from engaging in non-virtue themselves, but because of the power of the compassion, the genuine compassion in their minds, they are able to skillfully guide such people. So therefore, the Bodhisattva doesn't abandon unwholesome friends and unqualified teachers, but rather embraces them. So this practice of a Bodhisattva, that to give up bad friends, it's important then now to, with the full presentation that we've had, to understand it in its entirety. So for someone who is actually an established Bodhisattva, an Arya Bodhisattva, a powerful Bodhisattva, then for such a being, they would associate with people that we should rather avoid for now, because the Bodhisattva has the strong motivation to be of benefit to others, and not, of course, to be a benefit to all beings equally, not partially. So they would not avoid those beings who are most in need, those who are most deceived by delusions. In fact, the Bodhisattva would be for them, would be there for such beings. The Bodhisattva, through their compassion, would try and through their compassion and their skillful means, would try and guide this unskilled teacher, this unqualified teacher, and would try and guide this this unwholesome friend away from these paths of suffering and lead them towards activities of virtue and the like. So, understanding that distinction, we come to understand what the meaning is of a Bodhisattva giving up bad friends.
And
So understand this verse well, and this practice of a bodhisattva well. It's important that we understand that there are these two components to this practice of bodhisattvas. So when those who are currently bodhisattvas in the distant past, they too were ordinary beings like ourselves, with rough, coarse minds, and minds that were easily influenced by others and the like. And so when they generated the strong wish to develop the mind of bodhicitta, to progress towards entering the bodhisattva grounds, when they had generated this, or the bodhisattva paths rather, when they had generated that strong wish, then they engage in this practice of a bodhisattva of turning away or distancing themselves from unwholesome friends and unqualified teachers. And they did this because at that time their minds were too coarse and too easily influenced by such people. And so they distanced themselves from unwholesome friends and earnestly engaged in the cultivation of the minds of a bodhisattva. And when the mind of bodhicitta had been cultivated, and this realization had progressed so that it was powerful and stable, and that they were no longer susceptible to being influenced by unqualified teachers or by bad friends, then with the powerful compassion in their mind and the skillful means that from their wisdom, they then would start to associate with the kinds of people that we now need to turn away from. So that is the understanding here of how a bodhisattva practices in this context. This explanation then is given because the doubt may well arise that a bodhisattva is supposed to engage with people and those that are suffering and deceived and confused and the like. A bodhisattva is supposed to engage with them. So here we see something about giving up bad friends. And that may well seem contradictory, that a bodhisattva is supposed to want to lead all beings to the state of enlightenment is here being advised to give up on some sentient beings. So this this may appear to be contradictory. So then we should now understand clearly that this advice to give up certain sentient beings, this is something that is only done initially and temporarily.
Then and the Niji to say Chale Yamena, the Niji in Zada, then you more draw some book, Nusugeta, Gom Yamle Chiata, and Chale Tiawata Champa, the Negam to do the combiner, Gomne to Chedi, Chesipi Lale, the Niji in Zada, then Razu in there, the Kondu Lale, Dinna in Zada, then Razu, you can't do now one Nashin Chene, better country now, I did Pedache.
That in the chevron, that on the quiet did it. She had some shan and never ching me, said big. Nurse Pang with Pangby, some of Chita, singing in the jelly account to raw chicken peppers, two bees, said big, some of Chita. And this on your goma, naked in the top of the show, said big. And then she get down with Jawachimaki in there, Sanji, Chichi, Beggy, you say she, Chichi, a cobra, we can show to be the niggy, Molam Jadi, Mazing and Chikidina, Nidhi Nidilia.
那个刚要去个忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙忙 기회신 양답을 띵고 그랬어요. 어디 다 좋아 상부 띵고 기회신 양답을 띵고 그랬어요. 내 되는 사람이 마셔야지.
So we'll stop here for this evening. So just to recap what we've looked at this evening. So this evening we've been looking at this verse on giving up bad company. And so here, just to recap, what we need to do is identify which of our associates or our friends that when we spend time with them, our afflictive minds strengthen and grow. Or if we have a teacher who is an unqualified spiritual, unqualified teacher. So we need to identify if we do associate and we do have relationships with such people. And if we do, as has been advised here, we need to separate ourselves or distance ourselves from them because of the negative influence that they do have on us. And doing so, we should then not, of course, leave it at that and say, oh, I don't associate with such people anymore. We need to engage in the cultivation of the minds of the bodhisattva. We need to cultivate minds such as love and compassion and the like. And the reason we need to do this is we need to follow the advice and the example of the previous bodhisattvas, because we ourselves haven't yet experienced the path. This is the advice given by those who are currently bodhisattvas now, or who were bodhisattvas in the past and are now Buddhas. So they know how to practice because they've walked this path, or they've developed this path themselves. So we who aspire to do the same as them, we should cultivate these minds in ourselves through practicing in the same way that they do. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the evening, this lifespan that we have attained, we don't know how much of that remains. So this really isn't stable. It has this appearance of there being a lengthy period of time before us, but this understanding is not reliable. So therefore, from right now, from when we make our dedications at the end of this session, to when we go home, and from right now, we need to engage in the cultivation of virtue. We need to engage in the cultivation of the causes that will lead to good rebirths and to the accomplishments of our Dharma goals. So this, in brief, would be cultivating Dharma topics such as love and compassion, and in its briefest form, making the firm and stable commitment not to harm others, and to even abandon this mind of harmfulness. So in other words, to give up this mind or turn away from this mind that is wishing harm and wishing others not to have good conditions and good experiences and the like. And then in addition to this, make the second commitment, and that is to be of benefit to others, both a temporary and a long-term and ultimate manner. With this motivation, we then strive for the mind, we strive to attain enlightenment and to take that, take all sentient beings to that same place as well. So that is what we need to do, and we need to do this from now and as much as possible. And make this strong and fervent aspiration that these wonderful conditions that we have with this precious human rebirth, with this opportunity that we have, that this continues in our future lives. And wherever our spiritual friends, they appear in the world, may we be born there and be their students, etc. So this is important and is something we need to engage in from right now. Then tomorrow, we'll continue with the text, and then the next verse is looking at, okay, so now we've seen that we've looked at the unwholesome friends to turn away from. So what to do? Does it mean we're supposed to live alone and isolated like maybe we saw previously? Rather, tomorrow we'll start to look at the wholesome friends that we should associate with, and as well as what a virtuous spiritual friend is. So we'll start with that tomorrow, the sixth practice of bodhisattvas. So some questions tonight? Peter.
As I understood the teaching, an old unwholesome friend, not the second type, not the teacher, but the other type, was someone who had an influence on us that was negative, and the examples were an influence to steal or to harm others or to indulge in substance abuse. That implies intent or some form of unconscious intent by that unwholesome friend. However, another way of putting it that was said was that we should steer clear of people who make these bad minds arise in us, is how I've noted it, or have a negative impact on us. Now, I have a friend or friends from the past, or perhaps less of now, who don't intend consciously to influence me badly, and are not substance abusers or killers or anything like that, but are very negative and won't accept, won't change, negative about the world, and won't change, and so they disturb my mind, and have a negative impact on me. They're sort of like sad cases.
Yes.
No matter what I say, how fine it has not much effect at all, and then I feel makes me feel more hopeless.
Yes.
Less able to be positive. So, are these in the category of unwholesome friends?
Yeah.
How would we categorize that sort of thing?
So, someone who has this negative influence on your mind, but not intentionally. It's just how they are, and they don't mean to steer you in a particular direction, but rather just the strength of their personality, maybe.
Yeah, especially if they are negative about the world.
Yeah.
And so, it's just draining.
I understand.
And takes away from your ability to be positive.
Okay. Tene dropo nyampa. Tene dropo nyampa kasi nga tso kansukne lam nakpola trikiyare. Yimini tene dropo deyda namdu pangare. Di sapa hakuso. Yine nga yang dropo simpa yang ange dropo simpa yang ye. Tene konso nga la kansukne lam nakpola trikiyare. Konso nga la o kumakyab gore chang ginjimi tungore di dan dropo labgiyare. Yine konso konso pena konso noda mampo segiyare konso kangyogi kola mutene nimaningangi kola kesu segiyare konso ngunisem os kyobore teni konso da namtu yindu ngunisem yang kyobo chagire nye deganga nye konso la karine labna konso samlo tangtang kyogi yamare nye konso la robote tukimare yine ngunisem duguru duguru togire teni mi dedan drapo konso yang dropo nyempadebe.
Nisude mi korongi kangare shidi dropo nyempadebe chaya marwa de karsine nyempa ngadu dropo nyempa se kui jinche ngana tunde nyumo dusun pegi yuene dropo nyempa shidi mado korongi denigi kangare yuwa sanyi ngadu dropo nyempa chaya marwa nisa ta ngadu ki ta denigi nisu tonga du sosu ki delya jewa che sosu ki sangbyu chone lamduen kangare yaya chaya di So, you want to check with the chair. But when you are done, draw the model, say, and you get
那啥几个叫我做的过嘛嘞？俺就叫我做嘛，对吧？我不用过，是吧？现在说说俺那拉萨南大同呢，这个可也不差，等那说这个，他们上坡去的，或者讲这些，我可以叫我当他们那个也不说，过是叫我当嘛这边呢，你进去的说说，等一天叫我当嘛，从俺转到中毛身边，甚至结婚了嘛？这个反正说说我那拉萨南大进去结了哇。 제번자
So if friends such as these, if they are to be included in within the unwholesome friends that we should abandon, depends on whether they're making these three poisons of attachment, ignorance, and anger stronger in your mind or not. So this you can investigate. And if they're not, but they just say bringing you down, then you can then say, well, they're not included within the unwholesome friends, but maybe how I relate to them, this I can look at. So being with such a person, if what the advice you give or the influence you try and bring to them has no benefit, well, what to do? That's how it is. You're not a Buddha, and you don't know the different aspirations and needs of people, and you don't know how to act in accordance with that, because you're not a Buddha. So therefore, worrying about this and your mind becoming down serves no benefit. Rather, take this as an opportunity, and an opportunity at the time to practice patience, and two, to develop this mind of joyous perseverance. So to take delight in what is a difficulty, needing to be patient, and understanding that I am not the person that can help them, but I can become that person. So with this then, this is now a positive mind, and this mind of joyous perseverance, we then can make the effort that's required so as to progress along the spiritual path and become the person who can help them here. So, yeah, like that. Okay. One for Mali?
Yeah. This is a question that has provoked me a lot throughout the last five, 10 years. But, you know, there are people in this group who've been here since the very beginning with me, but over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have watched them practice and teach. And, you know, in my mind, I look at some of my,
So there's some people here that I've known for a very long time, and I think that they must be bodhisattvas, or they may be bodhisattvas, and if they are, I have no idea what level or type they are. So is this a good way to think? Yeah, and could they possibly be bodhisattvas?
Okay.
Chikje na chance sempre re. Tene gena kenang di kolo gompa kari segeve. Tene chikje, yo kere, ngomene tanda paru ki ngosempa ningpa dinso, konso chikje na chance sempre re. Di chikje. De kanga samotang tang di, 예 삼로 땅타는 디 디 야포두게 디 네체
not me
나 전투 템페 메 미 샘파 찍잖아
예 얘는 되게 말해라고 그래서 봐 이게 되게 말해 근데 이게 원래 많이 되게 어 인도 사실 해본 거라 근데 지난 뒤로 와 다 네 다 매 지금 전시세 봐 아주 그 디다 디 말해서 다 소수 원시면아 이 시트에 가고 와 지나 미 전시 봐 용식이래 다 용 말해라 다 줘요 말 당 아주 그때 용식이로 와다 용식이로 와 이제 내 레생이 지금 때 다 줘야 지가 말아 그거 이제 나랑기 맞어 한 먹어 했다 이제 니게 이제 전시 봐 열에서네 라세마 요 말라 요 마다딩 이랑기 태좀아 다딩이 되고
말아 에 대강라 삼모탕탕디 야포두게
나 저런 디 삼다다디 미모네 지다 나 저런 직진의 전시서에 인식이래 선비게 대태 되니게 전에 디 삼다다 이거 인식이래 인식이래 이제 되네 인자다 에 진님도 로봇이야다 되니게 장주기 돈 제반다 컨트롤이야 누가라 중나 내 집에 인식이다 뒤에 내가 친구 사이에 선배 송주 제하다 이후로와 이제 저 인식이래 선배 제가 나한테 저런 한 먹어나 생각하던 전신을 레슨 타주 납지야 맞아 생각 맞아 나도 저 도보선 인식이래 선배한테 들고 와
So it's difficult to say whether someone is a bodhisattva or not. Without clairvoyance, one really can't say with any certainty. And amongst those who are bodhisattvas, they will probably pretend not to be. And amongst those who are not bodhisattvas, there'll be some who pretend that they are. So it's impossible to say without having the required attainments oneself. So yes, maybe there are people here who are bodhisattvas. And if you think this way and you have this way of thinking that, yes, maybe someone is a bodhisattva, then when you're helping them and you around them and the like, to think in this way, it's good. But to think that, yes, they are, may be a bodhisattva, as opposed to, yes, they definitely are. So this is good to, this is good to think like that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.